Hey, this is Tony. Hey guys, we don't have a moderator for Tim Lee, so.
I'll moderate.
I don't want to take that risk. I'm Jeff Johns. I wrote Green Lantern and Teen Titans in 52.
I'm Ethan Van Sciver. I draw Superman, Batman, Green Lantern covers, and Nightwing covers.
I'm Terry Dodson, and I draw Wonder Woman.
That's it. Okay, we'll see you guys later.
We'll probably open the floor. I got a couple announcements I'm going to make, but we'll probably open the floor Q&A first, unless you guys have something to say. No? Okay.
Yeah,
two questions. Is that cool? Questions and answers? Okay.
Can you announce
us
that Canadian Super Team?
What's that?
Can you announce a Canadian Super Team?
Beta flight.
Are we going to see the Time Masters in 52 or after 52?
Yes. You'll see lots of Rip Hunter in 52. If you guys know who Rip Hunter is, he's his time traveler. I'll leave him. Yeah?
Okay, in 52, earlier on, you were doing that whole thing where the history of the DC universe with whatchamacallity girl, Donna Troy, yes. Kind of like that girl from Star Trek, but no. It didn't really make a lot of, like, I didn't really understand the ending of it when they were talking about all this weird stuff, and I was like, what did it all mean? Do you think you could possibly explain it in a way that...
I didn't write it, so I can't.
Do you understand it at all? I mean,
I'll tell you when I read it. But that was nice and theatrical.
Ella Green, comic book bin. I'm wondering... I'm actually one of the games writers at the bin, one of two. And we've seen a lot of new comic book-based video games coming out along with the movies when they come out. Do you guys have any actual cooperation in conjunction with the game developers for the art, or is it all done based on their work?
I have nothing to do with video games at all. I don't.
Terry, have you ever been close to video games?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. Depends on the company. Some companies like to work with the creators. I did a Marvel game last year, and a lot of guys do work. I know, I guess maybe Marvel does a lot of stuff like that. I'm not sure about DC.
Do you guys play any of these games?
I played City of Heroes and City of Villains.
I don't. I quit playing video games because it ruined my hand. So I have to draw.
I have that little Pac-Man 3-in-1 thing that you plug straight into the TV,
yeah.
And that's the extent of it for me. That'll do.
I used to play Halo 2 every night, and I got yelled at by my wife. Terry, I'm
curious how far along you are in Wonder Woman, how long your commitment is, and what you're enjoying about her that perhaps separates her from the other days that you've been trying.
As far as how far I am on the last page of script that I was given. So that's how far I am. And what else do you want
to
know? 5 issues. Hopefully longer. It's just a matter of deciding if I'm enjoying it enough to stay on it, I guess. Which I am having a great time right now. The best part about working on it is working with Alan Einberg, who's a huge Wonder Woman fan, and he's a huge fan of comics, and so he really likes collaborating with the artist, and so it's the most I've ever been involved with the story or direction of a book, so it's been a real kick. A lot of fun.
This guy right here.
Jeff, you're working on 52, and the series' entire concept is kind of dependent on the book shipping on time. Whereas, Terry, you're working on Wonder Woman, where we have rather possibly large delay between the issues or not. I'm wondering both your guys' perspectives on the industry moving away from monthly books or weekly books in case of 52 towards something like Wonder Woman, where we're not really sure when the next issue is coming.
Bi-monthly. October, December, February. It's on schedule.
52 is announced weekly, so, and it's all 52, so we can't screw it up. I think books like, you know, I mean, Green Lantern Rebirth, Ethan and I had a month in there that we just couldn't deliver the book because the time it takes to write and illustrate a book like that, and I'm not saying it's better than every other book out there, but it's just a damn good book, and it just takes longer to do it. Just like Alan and Tara and Wonder Woman, it's really hard to get that sometimes. And sometimes the companies won't give you the leeway even if you beg for it. You know, on Green Lantern, we launched the monthly. I kept asking to be launched in June, and they said, no, you have to come out in May, and so we've always been a little behind the gun.
What if some books did come out bi-monthly, and we just said something like Wonder Woman was going to be bi-monthly? What would your reaction to that be?
Well, that's what I'm just curious, like, having two kind of examples up here of, you know, maybe the old school where deadlines and getting it out was more mm-hmm. important than having a pristine work, whereas the other example, which we seem to be moving towards, we're more worried about having a beautiful end product than we are about a schedule and just, you know.
Yeah. I know DC's really hot trying to get everything monthly, because they can yell at me every day, and they yell at him, and I'm sure they call you. So, you know, we're all working as hard as we can to get the books out there as quickly as possible.
I think most of the fans would be patient for quality product, but I think it's the industry that runs, and it's half the revenue, right? If you were to deliver 6 issues instead of 12.
Yeah,
like that.
It's hard.
Right there.
Just to go along with that gentleman's question, with 52, how hard is it, because of the logistics where you've got people all over the kind of the world writing different sections, is it hard to keep the process going? And has DC kind of given you guys a heads up about like how the stores are reacting and how the fans like the sales, like how things are going in that respect?
Yeah, I mean, the hard thing is how the fans and sales are. We have to, where we were so far ahead on 52, we have to just be like, hopefully they'll like it. But we're trying really hard, and we get on the telephone all the time, so doesn't matter where we are. We've had summits, like we've had a couple week long summits where we just talk and talk and talk until we want to kill Steve Wacker.
Right there.
Jack, in Teen Titans, you've been hinting that they're kind of going back to Superboy. Are you
back? Why would they ever say that in a panel? He just asked if we're bringing back Superboy, so we'll see.
You start calling that.
Yeah.
Your turn.
In the back. You.
Who's all your favorite
favorite characters to write and draw?
Wonder Woman. Right now. Today.
Did you want to do Wonder Woman before you got the job? Were you always?
Not always, but at some point I realized it was a good match for me, and it was just a matter of the right combination of writer, you know, publicity, etc. And I just waited till the right time came along. So everything was, you know, using a number one, having someone who's really excited about the character like Alan, and knowing the movie was coming out, seemed like a good opportunity to finally go on the book.
Mine is Green Lantern. All the Green Lanterns, every one of them. I love it.
Yeah. Right now, mine's probably Green Lantern 2, out of mythology and all that. And Ethan and I actually were working together next year on a big Green Lantern project that's going to hit in around April. That's going to focus on kind of setting up the whole. I've stolen him back because he says it. And setting up kind of the stories for the next year. But it's going to be tied into a lot of DCU stuff going on. But
yeah, we've got some more candy for Green Lantern fans.
Yeah, so we kind of want to do like the next level of Rebirth. So that's what we're going to do.
Rebirth Redox.
Yeah, Mike.
Jeff, I just wanted to know about, can you explain the process working with John on the next storyline for Superman? Obviously,
you
worked before, I think. Can you just talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I was Richard Donner's assistant for 5 years, and he's the guy who directed the first Superman movie, and really good stuff, too. And, He and I had been talking about doing something together for a long time, and so when Action Comics came up with that in Kubrick, we thought it was the perfect time. And the process essentially is we have dinner we talk, we work out the story beats, we kind of figure out what's on every page, and then I write the script, send it to him, he gives me notes. He says, good job, kid, alone. And then he's, the interesting thing is he doesn't know the characters as well, so I have to give him comics and cartoons. Like, he loves Brainiac, and so he wants to read all the Brainiac stuff or whatever. And so he's been kind of learning, you know, who these characters are and what the world is in comics, and that's been a lot of fun. But it's gonna be cool.
Do each of you have favorite comics that you've read that are not done by you?
No.
You mean what our favorite comics?
Yeah. Yeah. Who would admire or respect the most in the industry, I guess?
I really like Wonder Woman and All-Star Superman right now. So.
Oh, you mean current stuff that's coming out now?
Even in the past.
In the past? Like anything with the checkerboard on the top.
Yeah, for me, the best book ever done is Batman Killing Joke.
I'd say one of my favorite things, just to kind of go off the topic, would be G.I. Joe Annual Number 2, which Michael Golden drew, and I think I was 12 years old, and man, I loved it. I've looked at it so many times, the cover's fallen off. I don't know about brilliant writing, but boy, it was a kick in the pants to look at. I learned a ton of stuff looking at his stuff. So.
How many times have you replaced it?
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have 4 copies of Killing Joke and various stages of decomposition. Yeah.
I've been through two copies of New Mutants Special Number 1, which was Art Adams' first big work for Marvel, and finally they put it into a trade paperback, so
nice.
That takes a little bit longer to beat up.
Nice. Next question. Jeff. Good job.
I have a question regarding 52. When Alan Scott came back to Earth after the Zeta beam malfunction, he said that the one eye he still had left over wasn't his, and also Adam Strange was missing both of his eyes. Is one of Adam Strange's eyes in Alan Scott?
Congratulations for asking the weirdest question. Yes. Yeah, everybody's talking about the next projects after 52 right now, and some of them have all the characters that have been out of 52, which I can't say who because I don't want to make it out, but some of them changed. So there will be, like a lot of us are talking about what characters we'd like to tackle and everything else. J.G. Jones and I have a project we're going to do after 52. That's not related to 52, but it's Barbara Gordon Batgirl. We're going to launch an All-Star Batgirl book.
Probably. That's a big announcement.
Yeah,
that's
probably, a big announcement. Probably in like, November next year, something like that, end of the year. So JG and I have talked about what we want to do, kind of do our ultimate Marvel coordinate. It won't have anything to do with the Batman Robin move now, but it'll be its own take. So everyone's talking right now if they want to do a project out of 50 doing that.
Here we go, Jing Lee.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, Jeff. Hi.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was doing something business. Important.
Ask some questions to somebody.
Sorry, this is a bit off topic, but as far as the comic industry as a whole goes, we're starting to see a lot of, like, you're signed to DC or you're signed to Marvel. And do you think, like, that kind of, in your opinion, does that hurt the industry or is that, like, the way it should be?
No.
It just seems like you're kind of, either you're Marvel or you're DC and few people cross over anymore?
Well,
Jim?
I'm
Jim's a VP at DC, so
yeah.
Exclusives are good.
Yeah.
They're good from the standpoint that you can count on someone to be there, hopefully, for the rest of the run on the book. And so if you're trying to make editorial plans and you think the guy could be poached in 2 or 3 months, you know, it's just lose a lot of sleep over that. So from editorial standpoint, I think it's a lot easier dealing with talent you know that's going to be there for you, that are going to fulfill their commitments to the book. So on that level, that's good. And also, I think if you're a fan, it's good because you know that if you have a favorite creative team, they're going to be there till they, you know, finish their run, hopefully. So, and from a creator standpoint, I think it's good because they actually get paid more. you know.
Yeah,
you
so
guys are all locked get, up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Time. You get. I mean, the thing is, if you're locked up, you get. You know, it's.
Right.
You're on a list, and they'll say what you want to do, and you know, it's you have a little bit more.
You get better projects,
yeah,
and
sure.
You get health care, and you get a pay raise. And I mean, it's just, it's good. It's
you
good.
Get a pay raise. Like,
I don't
know, I got to work on that. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next question.
Can you tell us, each of you, what you've just drawn or what you just finished writing and something about it that's kind of a, nobody knows yet, but you can tell us?
Well, you're at the end. It's one of you two. You're at the end.
Yeah,
you start.
I just finished Teen Titans 42 last December. That's kind of like a Blue Devil Kid Devil issue that nobody's been asking for, but I did it anyway. And so it reveals like how Kid Devil got the way he is and why, and it's it ties into a lot of some stuff we're doing in 52.
Superman Batman number 30, which is my last issue on that title before I hop over to work on Green Lantern again with Jeff. Had Superman Kilowog, a lot of new Plastic Man stuff, brand new redesign for Plastic Man, and
super secret thing with Superman.
Yeah, and a very super secret thing with Superman. There you go.
The last thing I drew, I'm still drawing, I didn't finish it because I had to come here, but it's the origin of Hercules in the issue of Wonder Woman I'm doing right now, so it's half done. Hopefully it'll be done tomorrow when I get home, but that's kind of exciting.
I finished the page.
Yes.
No, was it Friday? Friday in the hotel, and it's Spartan and Voodoo from Wildcats, and they're getting it on. And seriously, and so I was really worried that it wasn't going to get. I had to send it to the anchor for Saturday, and I was a little concerned that it would get held up at customs, just because I think they tend to be a little zealous about stuff. There wasn't anything too bad, but my editor said, you know, this is an all-ages book and everything. I said, oh, don't worry, we'll just blur everything out. So, so when you see it, it might look digitally stretched or blurry, but the original looks really hot. I was very lonely that night.
Oh, you know what, Matthew, the last thing you drew was the new Sinestro on our tablecloth last night.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Last night we redesigned Sinestro.
Yeah, I have it in my pocket.
Yeah.
Hopefully not after you're drinking.
Yeah. Probably not drinking.
That's how things get created.
Yeah.
Right there.
Well, the end of Infinite Crisis in 52, we saw a lot of change in terms of characters, costume design, and concepts. Just general comments on how those worked out, and did you think the fan expectations would be expected?
I haven't read all of the, I get my comps, I'm a little bit behind, I haven't read everything yet, but there's some books I really like, you know, and some directions I really like, where they took stuff. I'm actually, like, I really liked Wonder Woman Justice League, you know. Anything you read? Anything?
Actually, I haven't gotten comps in 2 months, I don't know where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What
is
some of the fan reaction to some of the changes, because I'm sure it trickles up.
No, I'm happy with the response on my books.
Next question. Right down there.
Based on the fact that you guys are usually really, really, really busy doing specific work for the specific books you're working on at the time, do you ever take time to draw, like, let's say you really wanted to draw a character that was being done by another artist and you don't usually or ever work on it. Have you ever decided, hey, I just want to try doing this character and see how it comes out?
Yeah, I draw Bart Allen as the Flash all the time. I really do. Yeah, I love drawing the Flash.
There was a time, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, that I was doing a lot of Hellboys. So, maybe it says drawing girls all the time or something, but, you know.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
No, I'm too busy. When I draw, I just, like, while I'm talking on the phone, I'll draw, like, hands and parts of heads and things like that, but never, like, full drawing, just no time, really.
What about your own IPs? Have you ever...
Intellectual properties?
Yes.
Well, some people might not know what Internet protocol. What?
You're writing new characters.
Yeah, sometimes we doodle and go, hey, that looks cool, new character. You know, I don't know. I mean, for the most part, I'm collaborating with a writer until I get something from them, not necessarily, which is very different, because like, I remember reading interviews from the 70s that Dave Cockrum had created all these characters for Legion of Superheroes, and then some of them were left over, and you used them for X-Men, I think, something like that, which to me just...
Nightcrawler.
Yeah, it's crazy. Storm. I mean, I just don't have the time for it, but the idea that you would have, you know, just all these random character designs ready to roll, like, just give me a name, use this one, you know, that'd be awesome, but not for me.
What's your case?
If you guys could steal a character from another company and bring it over to DC or Wildstorm, which one would it be?
I'd take the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have a good Hulk at the DCU. That's Solomon Grundy, but he's just, he's a bad guy.
Do they have a good Spider-Man in DCU? You
need a good Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Blue Beetle. Yeah. I'd bring Jean Grey over because I really like Phoenix.
More redheads. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good.
Jim?
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
We'll get ninja'd out. Go.
I see a green sleeve. Yes.
Jim, this is a question about the soft reset for Wildstorm.
Right.
I didn't really understand the last four pages of that Captain Adam Armageddon.
Okay.
Did the world blow up and then reset? Because he was, I think, ahead of him walking in a wasteland.
I think it was recreated in the image or in the memory of that character that reformed everything. So on a cosmic level, everything was restructured, but maybe not necessarily perfectly, so that gives us our excuse to basically tell the stories we want to tell without being mired down by continuity for continuity's sake.
And it ties into 52, believe it or not.
Sure, everything does.
back there. You, sir. You, that's you.
I'm sorry. The direction of the new JSA book, can you give us some idea about it and how it's different from the JSA book before?
Sure. Justify America, relaunching in December, daily edition now, it's Ross. And it's really, we're expanding, Alan and Jay and Ted really want to expand the Justice Society into a real society. So they're like into a big recruitment drive. They're trying to bring in as many legacy characters as they had, they can. They trace all these bloodlines of old heroes, and while they're bringing them in, somebody has to try to eliminate them. So that's kind of the first arc. But it's all about, it's going to be all about the JSA. It's kind of the hub of the DCU, and every character is connected to the JSA in some way.
Five new characters.
This is a whole panel, but maybe more for Jeff. Do you have an opinion why? I mean, comics are so good, but sometimes the movies seem to fail. Like, why, when you translate a lot of stories, like, is there a reason, maybe you can see, is there
like
why so many film adaptations of like a good story or a comic book, or they can't get a comic book story right on film?
It's really hard, you know, it's really hard. Like, when you've got like Jim and Grant on one book, they have a lot of control over the quality, so the quality's gonna be really strong. When you have, you know, what, thousands of people involved in a movie, even the directors can listen to the producers and the screenwriters and the actors, have their opinions. I think it's just really difficult to pull it off.
There'll be a lot of second guessing.
Yeah, nobody tries to make a bad superhero. They're like, let's make the bad version of this. You know, nobody says that. They're all trying to make it like the best, and they go out there to make the best, and sometimes it just doesn't work, just like comics.
It just seems that a lot of guys would say that, oh, if they only did this movie like they did this story in the comics, it would be a hit.
I don't know about you guys. I don't think it's that easy.
No. Well, how many movies?
That's a brilliant solution, though. We should try that.
Yeah. But how many movies are bad in general? 80%?
Yeah.
I mean, so are comics. I mean, there's only a certain percentage of any product being put out that's really good. So a lot of things are doomed to fail, especially with films. There's so many
cooks.
Yeah, so many, you know, so many cooks. There's a high chance of failure. A lot of money.
I think the superhero movies are like 50-50 for my opinion. I mean, I'd say half of them aren't that great, but you know, I like X-Men 1, 2, Rocketeer, Batman Begins, Superman 2. I mean, they're all great.
Hellboy,
Spider-Man.
Hellboy.
Ghost World.
Batman
okay, now
Begins,
you're really going.
Not really. I think Batman Begins was probably the best.
I thought
lately.
Yeah. Other than the first Superman movie, which was dynamite, had a lot of heart. Next question? All the way in the back.
Yeah, I got a two-parter. One, who's your favorite villain? Second, if you had the opportunity to create more depth to a villain, who would it be?
More what?
Depth?
Yeah, like character depth or you know, change them in any way that you
Sinestro and Sinestro for me.
Yeah, Sinestro and Sinestro.
Cheetah.
Cheetah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Gosh.
Green Goblin and whoever the bad guy is in the fourth world.
Darkseid.
I think he's a great looking, great character.
He's a hard guy to remember.
Yeah, I know Darkseid. I'd love to have Wonder Woman punch him out. I think it'd be a kick in the pants.
But he said, who would you bring more depth to as
a villain
as
well? Work on it.
Like what villain would you want to develop?
Oh, I like Joker and the Penguin. I always felt could probably use a little more depth as a villain. You know.
Did you ever draw a Penguin?
I just drew him in one panel, like a flashback. But yeah, he would be a character I'd like to draw. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Next.
But what are his powers? What's the Penguin's powers?
Yeah, well, that was an accident. You're going to do it. There are a few issues, but like, despite his look and size, he is an amazing judo master.
He's got the umbrella.
Yeah.
Okay. Same power as Batman.
Yeah, I know. All his rogues are powers.
It could be so. You know with the Marvel Universe, how continuity doesn't really make that much of a factor, as long as the story is really strong and ending. Where in these universes, you guys have made, it looks like to me, enough to make sure the stories connect, especially in the crisis, and that it's a shared universe. Do you think that the Marvel's mandate, do you think that's kind of hindering them, helping them? What are your thoughts?
The only thing I'd say about the continuity, maybe more DC-wise, is DC's has been around for an extra 20 or 30 years, and I'm sure at this point, Marvel's having the same problem with continuity after now 40 years.
Next question. Who are you looking at? How does handle?
Oh,
yeah. You're right there, sir.
Yeah, coming back to Green Lantern, it's been suggested Guardians aren't quite the benefit as they see, and that's something to do with their Hal Jordan as more striking to add to that.
That's something you and I are going to develop and explore in the project we're doing.
Yeah.
That's a nice project, just the next year.
Yeah, you're going to sometime, probably April.
You, right there. You, yeah.
Okay. For Jeff, are we ever going to see the Android Hour Man?
Did you pay for that?
I swear I don't know.
Probably. We don't have plans for Justice Society, but I'll be on that book for a while, so. Okay.
Do you have any company mandates that there are?
I'm sorry, can you speak up, please?
Can you let us know any company mandates that there are, like anything that you've sort of given guidance to do?
I got my company mandate sheet right here. Hold on.
Do not vote.
Yeah.
Not really. I don't know what that question really is. You mean like we cannot do a certain kind of story? Or?
It seems like that DC's been empowering their creators to try to be the best versions of their characters. That's something that was actually expressed.
That's part of the mandate.
Yeah, the mandate is to just do the best work we can do. And it's pretty, I mean, as far as interpretation, from my point, they haven't really told us what to do.
I'm trying to think of any examples of that, and I can't think of any, but...
Don't draw nudity.
Yeah, and, but, yeah, I think they're listening a lot more to creators who express enthusiasm towards a certain character. I mean, if you come out and say, I love Aquaman, I have the best Aquaman idea in the world, Dan DiDio, DC Comics will probably listen to you and think about putting you on, trying you out, which is pretty good. It's good. It's a good situation right now. Next question? All the way in the back.
Now that Manhunter has been established as a legacy character, should he be JSA?
No plans for her.
Okay.
Manhunter.
What?
Rocks.
Legacy character.
Yeah.
Guys are talking code.
Next. Right there. You, sir. Yeah. That's you.
Hey, it's me. So you keep talking about continuity and stuff, and like, oh, it's a bit.
That's exactly.
Well, like, why don't you kind of like, for one thing, Batman, for instance, he's been around for like the 30s, right? And like, by now he should be with a walker, he should be like Harrison Ford in the next Indiana Jones movie. And like, we're not going to get to the point where like these guys are just too old to like do this anymore. We're not going to have to move on. To, like,
as soon as you want to read Batman with a walker,
Booster Gold.
Yeah.
Plastic Man for me.
I should say Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Yeah, Wonder Woman. Yeah, exactly.
I say Matter Eater Lad.
Oh, Matter Eater Lad.
The guy can eat anything. What a crazy power that is, and no one really fully appreciates the ability to eat anything. Think about it. Think of things you don't like to eat. He could eat anything.
Wow.
Are we going to be seeing an ongoing Booster Gold series? Because the time is right for him.
Well, he's dead, so. Oops.
But so is Hal Jordan.
Booster Gold reboot.
There you go.
The time is perfect for our society.
Booster Gold.
Yes, sir.
This question for Jim. Intimates, authority, Wildcats, I felt a really progressive superhero books.
Right.
And I know they weren't as commercially successful. So what are some like lessons learned from those books that you're ensuring like maybe if they were recognized if there were mistakes that you won't be for the relaunch? Even though I love them.
No, it's an interesting question. I would just say I can't really speak for DC Central, but at Wildstorm I don't think we really tell writers, hey, make this more commercial per se. So I don't think we looked at the books not being commercially successful or viable and saying, hey, this has to be punchier. I think if you want something that's more commercial, you hire a writer that does more commercial work rather than getting a guy that does more esoteric work and say, hey, make this more mainstream. So, but Grant, to me, is a guy that really straddles both the esoteric and the commercial mainstream. And I think Brian Azzarello does the same, and Garth Ennis certainly, and so.
And besides, who really knows what's going to be a hit and what's going to turn out to be commercial anyway? You got to throw a lot of things out there and, you know.
So like a book like Ex Machina, to me, doesn't have all the vestiges of a book that you would say, hey, this is going to do well, and yet it has. So you can't always, you know, you kind of have to follow your gut instinct, so.
Right there.
There are a lot of interesting licenses being released by Wildstorm later this year, such as Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Is there any reason that they're being specifically released by Wildstorm and not just a regular DC book?
Well, generally, sometimes we acquire the licenses, so if we have a passion for a certain property, IP or whatever, we'll go out and do the deal. And other times, the deal struck at New York, and then they kind of decide, well, under what brand or what banner should this be released? And we've had a history of doing a lot of licensed books.
I'm doing the cover for Texas Chainsaw Massacre, by the way.
Are you?
I thought I'd point that out.
I can't wait.
Should be fun. Yeah, it's gonna be great. Guy wearing somebody else's skin. Wait. Right there.
I really like what you're doing on that Teenage
Jones.
Thanks. Really re-energized the book. And I'm wondering, the roster that's there now after Phase 2, is the year bigger roster, is that going to stay, or are you going to continue to introduce new members as they kind of go through the
world? We have three new members joining the team in issue 41. Brave is one of those, and then we're introducing a bunch of, you'll see like the next four issues, a bunch of Titans, that four Titans during 52. And in 52 week 21, we have the Infinity Inc., the new Infinity Inc. versus the new Teen Titans, but they're terrible. Yeah. It's like Beast Boy and a bunch of like D-list teenagers that really can't cut it.
Right there in the red.
After the Ion miniseries,
planning on getting Highland and John
and
Ethan and I will be playing around with that stuff.
Yeah, we just laughed. We just laughed devilishly after that question. That's all. That's your answer.
A devilish laugh.
Right.
Kind of a two-part, but now that we have the DLCs, we see Al a lot more in the DLC, but a lot more interaction with him.
Yeah.
So Cyrus related to Isis?
You'll see in upcoming 52.
Question was, is Cyrus related to
Isis?
Isis.
In his, in like the real mythology or whatever, she's a, he is her brother.
Right there.
The Resurrection Man, he hasn't been seen in a long time. Such a great character. Is there any hopes that he's going to come back somewhere?
That's an ironic question. I like that. Will Resurrection Man come back?
I don't know of any plans.
I hope so. I mean,
it's a pretty lame power if you're not going back. I'm Resurrection Man, but I'm still dead. Sorry.
Anything else? Yes, sir. Yes, you.
Any, I know a lot of you guys have a lot of books, but any characters still in the thing that you have mentioned to still or?
At Marvel or DC?
At Marvel or DC.
I don't know.
Legion, come on.
Huh? Yeah. Legion of Superheroes.
Yeah.
Starring Matt Reed or Led.
Yeah.
That's so fantastic.
Boy.
Actually, I don't. At this point, I'm kind of in some way or another drawn just about all the characters I'm interested in. So for me, it's who the writer is, you know, what the specific project is, what they're going to do with the project. It makes it more appealing to me than the characters themselves. Because a lot of times I'll work on something not really caring that much about the character, but the idea that the story is a pretty good idea, and so I try to inject something of my own into that character. That makes it interesting for me.
I'm going to do Ghost Rider at Marvel. I'd love to do Ghost Rider at Marvel. Yes,
okay.
You can definitely write it.
I love Ghost Rider.
At DC, I've drawn almost everybody. I guess I'd like to spend more time with The Flash. If you would write it, but, you know, I kind of missed the boat on that.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll do it.
Okay, cool. There you go.
News. I have the contract right here.
Yeah. I do Ghost Rider, actually. I'll kidding aside, and Hulk are my favorite Marvel characters. I'd like to do those. DC, I'd like to do... I like all DC guys. Batman would be fun. Mm-hmm. Do I do Batman?
Yeah, do Batman too. Yes.
There's such a huge close up series coming out. Is it a way for DC to test out waters? And are there any plans to actually entertain some of these issues that you're looking for or respect for? That you guys can talk about?
I don't think we know. I mean, if they do, I'm sure if they do well, they launch a Freedom Fighters book or whatever.
I think everything DC puts out is to test the water.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't think you guys like it, we'll give you more.
Let's try it.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're just like, we believe in the concept. We want to do Martian Manhunter book. Maybe we can see what people think. Are you liking it? Are you liking it?
Yes. Like most of you have all worked for DC and Marvel. Is there a difference culturally or anything between working for one versus the other company that you've ever noticed?
Yes.
I'm just going to shut my big fat mouth.
There's definitely a difference, but I think it's there's not a grass is greener thing. I think the companies each have strengths and each have weaknesses, and you just roll with it.
Yes. Oh, well, right, yeah.
You guys are so cranked up about Green Lantern tonight. I'm kind of curious as to whether you feel it's kind of your personal quest to restore him or move him up the ladder.
I'm pretty happy with where Green Lantern is right now. I think we just get excited because we want to take it to the next level. Like,
we just really like Green Lantern.
Yeah.
We want you to like him too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think so. I think the book is, there's so much more enthusiasm around the characters now than there was before, and that's good, yeah.
It's probably the last question.
Okay. Last question, a good one. Right there, sir.
There was some word of doing a Sinestro one-shot. Is that coming out
anytime soon? I don't know. We like Sinestro a lot.
Yes.
That would be fun. Be better if he had a quarter.
That's right. He had some friends with him. Okay, well, thank you very much for coming.
Thanks.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
And chance. I guess. Very strange.